Please be seated. May the words I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Well, as far as I see it, today's gospel reading falls into two distinct parts. Jesus talking to some Greeks who wish to see him, and Jesus speaking about his death. Both parts provide much food for thought, but to do justice to both would probably mean that we would be sitting here for far too long. And that might seem a slightly strange thing to say, but experiments have proved that although some people can remain focused for as much as 20 minutes, and some even longer, the majority have a much shorter attention span before their minds begin to wander to other such things as what to have for lunch, or when I was in the classroom, how soon is she going to stop? Indeed, the average human attention span is apparently just 8.25 seconds. Somewhat shorter than that of a goldfish at 9 seconds, which is a little worrying. Now, I'm sure that all of you fall into the group with much longer attention spans, but I am only going to focus on the first section of today's reading. If you read through the parts of the Gospels where Jesus is teaching, they are all actually quite short. It may be that the gospel writers only include the most important points, but I would like to think that Jesus was a good judge of how long people could concentrate for. At the time of the Passover, it was common for people living outside the Holy Land to visit Jerusalem. The Greeks mentioned in the passage may have been converts to Judaism, or they may have just been interested in what was going on in Jerusalem and wanted to see. Perhaps they had heard of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And so they ask Philip, who was probably a Greek speaker since he came from Bethsaida, a town with a mixed population of Greeks and Jews. Philip then goes to ask Andrew, see the pecking order working. Andrew was probably viewed as a more senior member of the disciples. And Philip and Andrew together go and ask Jesus. Now, I'd always assumed that Jesus then went and talked to the Greeks, but the passage doesn't actually make it clear whether the Greeks' request was granted. It says that Jesus answered them, but no more detail as to who the them it refers to is actually given. But then, perhaps that doesn't really matter who Jesus spoke to. It's what he said that matters. Once again, he uses an agricultural metaphor to make his point, just as he'd done before, for example, in the parable of the sower. Interestingly, John's gospel does not include this parable. It's only in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But a few chapters later, in John 15, Jesus develops the metaphor of bearing fruit in the image of the vine and its branches. So, what is the message that Jesus is trying to present to his listeners? He talks about a single grain of wheat, saying that it must die if it is to become fruitful. An agricultural audience would have got the message pretty quickly, I think. They understood that the grain of wheat must be buried in order for a new plant to grow. There has to be a seed time for there to be a harvest. If the grain of wheat had just stayed in a sack in a barn, that is exactly what it would have remained, a dry seed. But plant that seed in prepared ground and allow the elements to do their thing, and a whole new plant would appear, bearing many ears containing grains, which, in their turn, when harvested, would provide not just food, but seed corn for the next year's crop. Farmers know what they can expect to grow from the seed they plant. But if you are given a handful of seeds by someone, and some of us may have experienced a small child coming up with a handful of seeds, here you are, and you're thinking, I wonder what on earth I've got here. But as I say, unless the seeds are very unusual, the only way to find out what will grow is to persuade the giver to tell you, if they know, or to plant those dry, dark seeds and wait. Patience is required to find out the secret of what will come forth from those seeds. Perhaps Jesus was trying to explain to his listeners something he already knew only too clearly, that if he continued to live, he would remain a single grain. It was only by dying on the cross that he would bear much fruit. However, Jesus then moves on from his agricultural metaphor to venture into material that was harder to understand. Having already said that the time has come for the Son of Man to die, he tells them in verse 25 that those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Perhaps we are all reluctant to consider the idea of laying down our lives that we enjoy living, and I'm sure that the disciples felt the same. And they would have hated the idea that Jesus, their friend, their teacher, was going to die. They wouldn't have wanted to lose him, the person who had taught them so much, the person who had taken some fishermen and people doing other jobs and made them fishers of men. Would have been very hard for them to consider that through his death, Jesus was perhaps preparing them for the roles that they would have to then take. And it's not just the disciples that Jesus is preparing to become fruitful in their own right, but also us. Jesus died. He was the grain that fell into the ground when he died on the cross and was buried so that he could bear much fruit. It was first through the disciples and now through us that he bears fruit. He was the true vine and we are the branches. If we serve and follow him, staying connected to him through worship, prayer and the word, we are enabled to bear his fruit. We may not be called to lay down our lives on this earth, but there will be sacrifices to be made if we are to serve and follow Jesus. But there will also be the greatest of rewards. What could be better than to be honoured by the Father? After all, as verse 26 says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. The Greeks at the beginning of the Gospel reading asked to see Jesus, and that probably meant in the flesh. Until we are on a further shore, we are unlikely to see Jesus, but we can experience his very real presence in many ways through all our senses. Wouldn't it be good if we could share that experience with other people? We too could then be said to be fruitful. We may never know the effect that a kind word or action has, but the planting of that seed is so important. Nothing grows without a seed being planted. Can you go forth and plant seeds? Who knows how great the action may be as a result of your words and actions? And as we welcome Kai this morning, we are in a sense planting a seed, because we don't know what you're going to grow up to, do we, Kai? It'd be great to find out, though, wouldn't it? Amen.